Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Cania. With me, as always, is Eric Schlett from USA Today Lions Wire. This is the official Lions podcast of USA Today Lions Wire. Eric, a sad Thanksgiving day for Lions fans, not just because of what happened in their homes during their feasts, but the Lions lost again 24-20. Although I'm sure some people are happy, because now they keep driving towards a higher draft pick in the upcoming 2020 NFL draft.
Yeah, this is very much a split fan base right now.
Sure. I think it's kind of always a split fan base.
but the Lions are they're very defined lines right now. It's those who want them to be picking at the top of the draft and those who still want the team to be successful. So I think we're starting to see more and more fans on the high draft pick side of things as we get closer and closer towards the end of the season.
Quote unquote success is now out the window at 3-8-1 because the best record they could have 7-8-1. They can't crack the 500 mark this season. All right, so they're going to play the Vikings on Sunday, who were 37-30 losers to the Seahawks. Was that Monday Night Football?
Correct.
Yeah, that was Monday Night Football. So both teams are going to be coming in off loss. Well, Lions, several losses.
Yeah.
Let's start with the injury report, as we always do, leading it off. No surprise, Matthew Stafford didn't practice all week, and they're still not shutting him down to make him happy, but they probably need to shut him down.
Yeah.
So they have an extra roster spot.
We wrote a couple of articles about it, as we do every week, because this is a big storyline still.
Yeah, he's one of the all-time greats of the franchise, and he's going to get... he's got to be talked about.
My stance on it is they still need to shut him down. And then Jeff Risden, of my co-editor at Lions Wire, said he penned a theory that said maybe they're not shutting him down because they're trying to keep things optimistic about him, and the fan base would get, if they put him on IR, the fan base would start calling him injury prone again, and some portions of the fan base, I shouldn't say all the fan base, because I think a lot of the fan base is very realistic and understands the situation, but there's a fraction of the fan base that doesn't, and they think that he's, even though he played 136 consecutive games,
he was injury prone early in his career, then became an Iron Man, now he got injured again. It's the NFL, guys get hurt.
Yeah, and
I would say he's played long enough to now kind of dump off that injury prone type of...
yeah, I don't know if there's an advantage. Moniker. I think there's potentially an advantage to, if you don't put him on IR, you get to keep him at practice. Involved in practice, I guess I should say.
So if you're on IR, you can't be involved in practice. You can't be there.
You can't be on the field. And now what they're doing is they're putting Stafford on the field behind the quarterbacks. And so when the younger quarterbacks and David Blough, and then we've got some other younger ones here, Stafford, without being on IR, can sit out there behind them. And he can give them instruction. He can be like a quarterback's coach on the field. If he's on IR, I don't think he's allowed to be in the field of play. Now, I'm not 100% on that, but I believe my understanding. So, but again, I don't think they'd hold a roster spot just so they can have him coaching from the field instead of the sidelines. But I don't know. It's very strange. I would be shocked if he played another down in the NFL this season, for sure.
All right. Defensive lineman Deshaun Hand back. His ankle is out. He participated Wednesday, but he did not practice Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, so he plays the most snaps of any Lions interior defensive lineman on Thanksgiving. And then he comes into practice on Wednesday, and things are tightening up on him, not responding well. You could call it a setback, right, in his recovery process. And then he takes a couple days off, and he can't recover in time, and he's out again. So probably won't travel with the team because they're traveling this week, so he will most likely be home in Allen Park. And it's turned into a very challenging season for him. He has just...
not a great sophomore season after so much promise in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Austin Bryant hurt his hip. He's going to be doubtful, so maybe they shouldn't have put on a back.
Well, he was fine on Wednesday and fine for most of the practice on Thursday. And then he suffered the hip injury mid-practice Thursday. So they took him out Thursday, kept him out Friday. They've listed him as doubtful. But my guess is that if he's doubtful on Friday with them traveling, they probably won't take him on the trip, which means I am expecting a Saturday, like around 4 o'clock or so, them to say, oh, we've downgraded him from doubtful to out. He won't travel with the team again, like hand stay home rehab in Allen Park where he'll be able to recover. They don't really need him, you know what I mean? Like there's no reason to push him into playing in this game. He didn't play any defensive snaps last week. He only played special teams. You've got a healthier defensive line outside of hand, so you're not doing him a whole lot of favors by pushing him into this trip and trying to get him to play. He potentially could be inactive anyway, so I'm expecting him to be us to find out later today that he's shut down and not going to be active.
All right, cornerback Rashawn Melvin with ribs.
Limited all week. Every practice this week he was limited, but that's a sign that he's recovering because he hasn't been able to practice for the last couple. Oruwariye has started in his place and done very well. And because of Oruwariye's success, I wouldn't be surprised even if Melvin plays, if he's limited and they keep giving the rookie some looks.
All right, return man Jamal Agnew still has an injured ankle.
Yeah, he was limited Wednesday, Thursday, came back to a full practice on Friday. That full practice tells me he's probably going to play. Now, he probably won't play on defense because he really hasn't most of the season, but he can give a spark back to the return game. They were using Amendola back there, and I think he's a little bit too valuable on offense, so I think on punts it'd be nice to get Amendola back there. On kick returns, they apparently liked what they saw in Chris Lacy. So the story goes, three, 4 weeks ago when they were preparing for the Bears, they were preparing for Cordarrelle Patterson, right? And so they, in order to simulate a body type of Cordarrelle Patterson, they put Chris Lacy back there, who at the time was on the practice squad. Well, Lacy apparently did very well in that Cordarrelle Patterson role and showed some promise. So when he was promoted to the active roster last week, they put him back at kick return. Now, we never had a chance to bring one out in the game, but they do like what they've seen. Now, if Agnew is still a bit limited, they may put him on punts and keep Lacy back on kick returns just to see what he's got. But if Agnew is legit fully back like we saw on Friday, then he might just take both duties over and, you know, because he's a little bit more reliable and proven.
Now, this is a total nonsense question, but and since he's hurt, I really wouldn't expect it. But Marvin Hall, no longer available for the rest of the season.
Correct.
So the offense is really only left with J.D. McKissic as one of its gadget players. Now, yeah. Jamal Agnew, rookie year, didn't he see a couple of snaps as a gadget player with a ton of speed? Could we see this in the last four games? Or it's probably not likely with the way he's been hurt.
We saw it happen twice earlier in the year, too.
Yeah,
Two plays.
Yep.
And so it's possible. It really does depend, I think, on his health. But now is the time to experiment with that stuff. So, yeah, I think that's a real legit question.
Wasn't a nonsense question?
No, not at all. Right. No. I think that's a good one because, you know, you've got McKissic, you've got Ty Johnson, but Agnew is a different has a different skill set than those two guys. He's more shifty. And so, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him on offense somewhere down the stretch here.
All right, Snacks Harrison, groin injury.
So he went from full practice to off on Thursday, back to full practice again. So, and now he's not listed with the designation. So that means they're expecting him to play. It's good news against a tough Vikings running game.
He's good for next year. He's got a contract for next year, right?
Yeah, they extended him.
So do you think he's
going to
hold out again next year? Because he's got to be disappointed with how he's played this year. He's got to be, because he seems to be one of those guys who, you know, really cares.
Yeah, no,
like,
for
he
sure.
He shouldn't be disappointed with how this year has gone for him.
He's been real upfront with that, too, saying that he hasn't done his job well enough. I don't think there's any chance he holds out. if anything, you know, he's got his money. He has a very realistic and reasonable contract for what he was producing. This year, he's probably getting overpaid.
Yeah, but if he gets into shape, quote unquote shape in the off season, and he's ready to go, it'll hopefully be a different year next year.
Yeah, because he can really be a difference maker when he's on his game.
Sure, we saw it last year.
Yeah.
Finally, Sam Martin, his abdomen, but he's been punting his way through it.
Yeah, he limited all week. This is the same thing. The only difference with Sam is that he'll still punt and he'll still hold, but expect kickoffs to stay with Matt Prater.
All right. Three guys have been added to injury reserve. Already mentioned one of them, Marvin Hall. And, well, we actually mentioned Jeff Driscoll, too. Yeah. Everybody's aware of that one, too, that he's on IR. And finally, TJ Hockenson. Also, I think these are all well-known IR additions for this week.
And this is going to happen more frequently down the stretch, the final month of the season.
Oh, yeah. Open up more roster spots.
And then they can go after and try and acquire other players. Then they can add either to a futures contract at the end or they just maintain control of them. This happens every year regardless of what the record is. And when you're out of it, you know, like the Lions are, even the smallest injury can land a person on IR. If you remember last year, Charles Washington had a hamstring injury and they were just like IR, and then A'shaun Robinson had like a toe injury and they were like IR. They just IR'd everybody, and then it allowed them to promote practice squad players and then keep them under. When you have a guy on the practice squad, when the year's up, you don't maintain rights to that player. But you can offer them a futures contract. Now, if you promote that practice squad player to the active roster, well, now you then maintain rights to that player. And so that's a strategy that a lot of teams, especially once they're eliminated, will use down the stretches. IR a player, promote a practice squad, then you are now controlling a guy, or you have him, you're going to get him on a cheaper contract for the future, and it's just a way of maintaining that roster uniformity, I guess.
All right. Let's talk about the roster moves, because we've got a bunch of guys out. We had to move some guys to injury reserve. We have signed quarterback Kyle Sloter to be the backup quarterback this week.
Real interesting signing.
Last week, too.
So Sloter was signed when they put Driscoll on IR. Sloter was a wide receiver in college. And then,
so bizarre.
He tried playing quarterback. And then he couldn't break the quarterback's room. So then he went to wide receiver.
Miss.
No, this was pre-Southern Miss. Oh, yeah.
Southern Miss first.
Yes. So then he switched to receiver. Then he transferred schools, and he went back to quarterback, or he was doing both his junior year. And then his senior year, they had an injury, and he took over at quarterback the entire time. Now, so it's not similar to Driscoll, but it's similar in the fact that both him and Driscoll have tried their shots at wide receiver in order to stay around.
Stay in the league.
Yeah. And so it speaks to his athleticism, right? So Sloter, but the thing with Sloter is that he has absolutely torn up the preseason the last 2 years. And when Minnesota cut him at cutdowns, which was a bit surprising, the Lions tried to make a move to go get him, but there were several other teams that did as well. And he actually ended up signing in Arizona onto their practice squad because, you know, you got Cliff Kingsbury there, right? You know, the up-and-coming guy who can do it all, and he fits that scheme very well. But then the Lions, when Driscoll was going down, they signed Sloter.
Tore him off the practice squad.
Yeah, get the nice promotion, get him up, and right now he's the backup. You know, he's one snap away from playing.
You might see him.
But this is a guy who's not bad. I mean, like you don't want to put too much stock into the preseason, but he looked very good in his decision making, and it's not just one preseason. There's a couple preseasons worth of this. And the potential is there. He's, like I said, a lot of Jeff Driscoll characteristics. He can move with his feet. He can get out of the pocket. There's several things that he can do, and he's got decent accuracy. So think of this as their version of Jeff Driscoll. They want that athletic quarterbacks on the roster for, you know, a variety of reasons, and that he's the guy. I think he's a guy that they will want to bring back too if they can. And
they already have three quarterbacks to bring back.
But
we have a fourth quarterback.
Well, you know, teams carry four quarterbacks in the offseason. No,
that's
lot of
true.
Times, so,
and we always complain about how we don't have quarterbacks. Now we're not extremely. We just have quarterbacks.
I think Sloter is the 11th quarterback they've had on the active roster since training camp began.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. But, you know,
they can't get one out of the XFL.
But that's fine. Ironically.
Well, he's going
to
play.
Ironically, we're going to get to an XFL quarterback that they did get a minute.
All right. So they promoted Chris Lacy. You mentioned that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to say anything else.
No.
Promoted linebacker Jason Kabinda.
Yeah, I like that. Second-year player out of Penn State, played very well with the Raiders last year, started several games for them down the stretch. He was a surprise cut, if you remember, on Hard Knocks. He was one of the guys that HBO featured a lot, and they were kind of shocked. They even had a little segment at the end where they showed him getting the phone call from the Lions saying that he was going to sign with them. Most people expected him to be signed to the active roster. But then the fact that they put him on the practice squad was a bit of a surprise. You knew it was a matter of time before they were going to promote him. And when the opportunity now comes here at the end of the season, up he goes. He's promoted. He's basically going to have a similar role, in my opinion, to Steve Longa, where he's going to be a very dynamic special teams player. But he has a little bit more range, I think, on defense than Longa does. I don't know if he'll see the field on defense, but is another big body who can play special teams, and that's a good thing to have. And now, again, this is a guy, bigger body linebacker, that you can control, that has some upside, and you're now keeping him around at least for another end of the year here, and then he's going to be an exclusive rights free agent in the offseason, which is a no-brainer to bring him back on a cheap contract. So it's a good move to promote him.
All right, practice squad additions. First one, Francis Joseph Callahan, his quarterback. Never heard of him before. He's from some Division III school.
and he's the guy that was going to go to the XFL. Mm-hmm. And so they got him, right? So Callahan is in and on the practice squad.
All right, wide receiver, kick returner, Victor Bolden.
He's basically a speedy guy. He played. He was an all-purpose weapon at Oregon State, and he was basically like Brandon Powell, essentially. So I would put him in that same kind of category as Brandon Powell. Going to have to compete with Tom Kennedy for slot duties, at least on the practice squad.
Tight end Cole Herdman.
Purdue's tight end last year, and with David Blough at quarterback.
Involved in beating Ohio State.
Yep. Yep, and so...
last time they've lost. No, I don't know they've lost. No, last time they've lost. Yeah.
And so, so it's Blough gets his tight end from college.
Finally, punter Jack Fox saying so long to Matt Weil, which is...
Yeah, very strange, but it happens, right? I thought Weil had a nice pedigree, and they had kept him on there for a while. But Fox is a guy who played well again, played well in the preseason. He played well enough in the preseason that the Chiefs kept him around on their practice squad, which is a bit unusual to keep a punter on the practice squad unless your kicker's hurt, like in Sam Martin's situation here. But Fox is interesting. He's athletic, got a big leg, and he'll get a chance to, try out, I guess, for the last however many weeks of the season here.
All right, finally, another guy besides Matt Weil released from the practice squad, linebacker Anthony Pittman.
And Pittman is a guy we've talked about a couple times before, played at Wayne State. He was a guy that the coaches really liked in the offseason. He was a very versatile positional player, could play Mike and Will. But they also used him out at Jack and Sam, so that four kind of position versatility. He's a bit undersized, but they really liked him. They cut him and brought him back and cut him and brought him back, and they've now released him again. It'll be interesting to see if he comes back this season. It could also be a potential to get a futures contract to bring him in the offseason to try as part of their 90-man roster.
All right, moving on to the Bears game. Of course, 24-20 loss. David Blough, you heard it here first, got his first start, as we did question it for a second. Like, well, he can always end up starting.
All right.
22 of 38 passing, 280 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
First throw, 5 yards in the dirt in front of Marvin Jones.
It was really bad.
And that
didn't look good.
When he threw that first one, I looked at Jeremy Reisman next to me, and I was like, this is going to be a long day. And then the second one, 75 yards to Kenny Galladay.
A bomb.
And it was on point and easy. And I was like, okay, maybe it could be a fun day. And he looked...
Has to do wonders for his life, you know? Mm-hmm. This is going to affect the rest of his life that he throws a 75-yard touchdown bomb.
On his first completion.
Second NFL pass.
Yeah, crazy. I'll tell you what, this kid is the most confident third-string quarterback I've ever seen.
Why not? What has he got to lose?
He's such an interesting story, right? Because he's part of that Purdue team that, like you said, beat Ohio State.
Crushed Ohio State.
Yeah, like by like
49-20, I think.
Yeah, something like
that.
It was
all Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore, who's a true sophomore at Purdue still. He won't even be eligible for this class. When he does, he's going to get a ton of hype. But yeah, they had Ohio State had no answer for Rondale Moore, and Blau just kept slinging it to him
over and over. Smart quarterback.
Yeah, yep. And he is. He's a smart quarterback.
Doesn't have the greatest arm. Doesn't have a ton of arm strength.
It's not bad, but it's not great. His accuracy is pretty good. I thought he made some really astute passes down to in that game and at the beginning, and even down the stretch when they started to account for him. I was impressed overall with him, but I think you know there's some potential there that if he is the starter for the rest of the season, which it sure appears there's going to be, he could end up winning that number two job, I guess, right now, right? Like he could go into next offseason being Stafford's number two.
So you don't think Jeff Driskel's coming back?
I think he could, but he's a free agent.
Okay, and they'll have exclusive rights to Blau.
Blau's already under contract because they traded for Blau. So they have his
rookie contract.
Yep. So you've got three years with Blau plus a restricted on his fourth year, and so Blau is for sure coming back. Driskel's a free agent. Slaughter will be a free agent. Callahan will be a free agent. So, but I think Slaughter is actually going to be a restricted free agent, or maybe even exclusive. I have to.
We can discuss that in the offseason. Yeah.
But the point is that we've now got a month of the season to see, is Blau a guy who has more upside than Driskel,
and could
he win that spot? Will Driskel see what Blau does and then depart? There's a lot of things that could happen over the last month here at that reserve quarterback position.
I wouldn't get too excited, because remember Driskel had a couple of very good games and then had a stinker once they kind of figured him out. Maybe the same thing will happen with Blau.
Sure.
Who knows? Hopefully not, but, prepare yourselves, everybody. it might not turn out so great. All right, Bo Scarborough, this is his backfield, 21 carries, 83 yards, no TDs. Once the carry-on's going to eventually come back, maybe not. I don't know about this year. Okay. I don't know why they're going to do that.
Well, he's practicing.
This is nuts. I think it's
kind of
nuts.
So there's two parts here. Let's address the carry-on part first.
Yeah.
So when he was placed on IR, you cannot practice for 6 weeks, and you cannot return to game action for 8. Well, that 6 weeks has passed, so Kerryon is eligible to return to practice, which he has, and he has practiced all week. Now, he's still not eligible to return to the field this week or even next week, but the week after, he's eligible to return to play.
Is that Tampa or is that Denver?
Denver. So he can't play Minnesota or Tampa. He can play Denver, and he can play in Green Bay if he wants to come back. Now, the tricky part is it's possible they just want him to get practice, and so they're giving him this week to practice and next week to practice, but then he'll be able to practice the week of Tampa Bay, but then before the Tampa Bay game, they will either have to make him put him on the active roster, which means he would then be eligible to play, or they might just say, no, we're going to leave him on IR, and then he just won't be eligible to practice the last week of the season. So this could just be like, hey, let's get your NFL legs back before the offseason and make sure that you're feeling healthy and we're testing you out and all that jazz, just to make sure he's good going into January. But it could be that they're trying to bring him back for the last couple games as well. But he is practicing. We'll find out their intentions in 2 weeks. For now, he's just going through the motions and doing his things. Now, if he returns, it's going to be a much different backfield than when he left because of the play of Bo Scarborough. Scarborough has like 75 touches or something like that. Or maybe it's 53. I forget off the top of my head. But he's producing at a very decent rate. And while you look at his like per touch averages only in like the 4.0 or whatever, that's still better than what we've seen out of these reserve running backs in the past. And his yards after contact is like 2.6, which would lead the league if he had enough touches to be eligible for that.
Yeah, so, 53 for 236.
So how he's winning is very impressive, and he's doing it at volume too. It's not like he's just getting a handful of touches and producing this output at a couple. He's doing this at good volume. 53 touches over three games is a nice clip. So
75 yards a game.
So if Kerryon does come back, you now have a nice 1-2 punch. You have a speed option in Ty Johnson, who's still developing, and now you have a change of pace back in McKissick. And ideally, this is the four that you're carrying into next season. Now, maybe they add another running back in the draft. I don't think they would add one in free agency. I think they'd be comfortable with these four because Scarborough is also an exclusive rights free agent, which means he's going to be eligible to come back on the cheap.
I'm sure they'll want him back.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Bizarrely injured.
Yeah, well, which is possible because he has an injury history as well, especially with his style. But they have handed him the reins in this backfield and said, okay, you're getting 15, 16 touches a game, and Ty Johnson and McKissick will each get five or less. And this is very much Scarborough's backfield, and it looks like it will be for the last month.
All right, so we kind of know at this point, everybody was concerned that once Stafford was out, it's like, well, this offense is going to be terrible. Turns out it's not.
Yeah.
Turns out the defense is extremely terrible, yeah. But we've known that most of the season anyways. So it made Mitch Trubisky look great again on Thursday. That's two times this season. They're going to keep him a bear for a while longer.
He has 13 touchdowns, right?
Mm-hmm. And six of them.
Six have come against the Lions.
Yeah, well. Have we sunk to the 32nd defense? We're still holding at 31.
They are actually in
don't give me the DVOA. Oh, well. Because I'm not buying into that.
The DVOA is down to 28.
Okay, so pretty close.
They keep dropping.
I wanted to know in sheer numbers now that everybody's had their bye week.
I think it might even be 31. I think it's near the end. It depends on which statistical category you're looking at. Can I want to put a pin in the defense for a second. You mentioned that the offense hasn't been bad even without Stafford. Man, credit to Darrell Bevell for being able to make adjustments. Right?
Very good offensive coordinator. He's not excellent. He's very good. He makes because he makes mistakes at bizarre times late in games. You know, over his career, but. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about that right now because they're not winning anything anyways. But, yes, he has been very good. He has been Bob Quinn's maybe best addition in his tenure here.
And so, but on defense, it has been a problem, right? Pasqualoni has been getting questions about his job. They've been he's saying he doesn't think about it. He feels comfortable. But this defense has not performed. It has not made adjustments. I started tracking the linebacker usage in for an article that I'm trying to write, but I'm just still acquiring data. And what I've noticed is that the multiple defense that we've seen in the past, it's not as multiple as what we're used to. Instead of seeing that variation of personnel within each drive, it's almost like they're putting one personnel out there and then that's the personnel for the drive. Like, they might sub a player in or two, but they're sticking.
Dallas Cowboys style.
But if there's, but then, like, yeah, but then the next one, they'll change the style of defense, but then that will be that defense for the drive. And regardless of if it's working or not working, they're not making a whole lot of adjustments. No, but I'm saying,
I followed exactly what you said.
Yeah, so
they're sticking with one defensive alignment for an entire drive, and then they change the defensive alignment next time.
Right. The whole point of having a multiple defense was that you can change the multiple alignment within the drives, and the frequency of that has really dipped. And because of that, they've been easier to figure out. And when they've been giving up yards and chunks, they haven't made those adjustments. And there's been a huge portion of that I think is really factored in. I think Patricia is equally at fault on this as Pasqualoni is. And there's some concerns. The decision making is equally as bad as the play on the field right now, and that's a problem. And we've said this before. There's not one fix. There's multiple things that need to be fixed on this defense right now, because statistically they have the players. You know, like, they've only lost one game by more than one score, and that was against the Minnesota Vikings. So
yeah, they're only oddly all right. So they're giving up 398.1 yards per game, which puts them at 29th overall in the NFL, and just straight up, just by the numbers. Mm-hmm. Although they're only giving up 26.2 points per game, whereas Miami's giving up over 30 and Arizona's right around 30. So, yeah, they don't. It is that bend, don't break style, and there's your visualization of it. You don't really give up tons of yards, but not as many points as the worst defenses, although it's one of the worst defenses.
Yeah.
Always gives up a late touchdown drive whenever the other team needs it. So
yeah, it's really just
not
been
a lot of bright spots to talk about there. Except for Ord Warrior might be a decent defensive player.
He has been their number one quarter per PFF the last 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks he started. So if that tells you anything.
I hope Darius Slay didn't read that. Or maybe hopefully he did read that. And he turns his player around.
He's been very interesting.
It's late in the year. All right, let's talk about the Vikings. Vikings are 8-4 coming in. They are firmly entrenched in a playoff spot in the NFC if the playoffs were to start today. Although now the Bears are gaining on them. They're 7-6 now after that. After they took out the Cowboys on Thursday. The Vegas line, the Vikings opened at 13.5 point favorites. It has shrunk to 12.5. So that could say, well, I guess although, like you said, the only game where the Lions have lost by more than a single score was to these very Vikings at home.
And it was 12 points. So,
but yeah, I could see maybe the gamblers are seeing that and they're putting money on the Lions to keep it a little closer. Although I'm sure nobody's picking them to win outright.
Oh no, I do think 13 is very aggressive considering the fact that the Lions have kept things close.
But for against every team except for this one,
you're right.
Over/under's 42.5.
Yep.
Walt Anderson's going to be the referee. He throws a lot of yellow flags, 17.83 per game, well above the NFL average of 14.17. I shouldn't say he throws all the flags. I shouldn't give him all the credit. It's the whole crew.
His back judges throw a lot. Yeah, sideline judges throw a lot. They throw a lot as a whole crew.
So they're trying to keep things under control at all times.
Yep.
We're going to be on Fox, but since we are playing a good team, we get one of the better crews. Tom Brenneman, Chris Spielman, and Shannon Spake will be the crew on Sunday afternoon. So yeah. 1 o'clock start, right? This
correct.
Is my 4 yeah, right.
Correct.
So the last time the last time they played, the score was 42-30 Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Vikings have beaten Washington, the Cowboys, and the Broncos, and lost to the Chiefs and Seahawks in those 5 games, those 5 weeks.
What's been interesting is that since they gave up 30 to the Lions, which was Matthew Stafford led 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 9 to Washington the next week, and then they gave up 26, 24, 23, and then 37. The defense, as good as they are, they've shown some weaknesses over the last month. Now, will they show that same weakness against the Lions? It's very possible. Can the Lions put up 30? Well, I don't think they can put up 30. Because, again, that was a Matthew Stafford team that was putting up 30, not David Blough. But I think Blough is going to have an opportunity to put some points on the board here. But you know, I still think it's going to be a hard row. I think the best advantage the Lions are going to have is when he tries to hit the receivers. I think he likes throwing to receivers. I think the Lions receivers have some advantages over the Vikings. Remember, Marvin Jones caught 4 touchdown passes on them the last time they played. Now, I don't think Marvin's going to catch...
Good for people in week one of the fantasy playoffs.
Right? I don't know if Marvin's going to catch 4 again, but...
I'll be focused on him a little bit, I'm sure.
But they don't have an answer. They tried 3 different corners on him last time they faced off, and none of them hit. Each one of them got scored on by Marvin. Xavier Rhodes got scored on twice. And so, yeah, I think Marvin is going to still have a good game. I think there's a connection with Blau and Kenny Golladay, which is nice. Amendola looked sharp with Blau on that connection as well. Your tight ends aren't going to be as involved with Hockenson on IR. So I do think they're going to try and air it out. I do think they're going to try and, you know, let Scarborough try and rumble. I think the offense will put up points. I just don't know how many points. I'm not expecting them to get 30, but then it's how many will the Vikings put up, because the Vikings offense has been playing very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question. That's really what this game comes down to. How many points can the Lions put up? And the Vikings offense, which has been phenomenal and has not regressed, is probably going to put up more. It's just how much more.
Yeah, the DVOAs have the Vikings offense 6th overall, with the Lions defense, as you mentioned, 28th. Their passing DVOA is also number 6, led by the controversial is the wrong term. People feel one way or another about Kirk Cousins. A lot of people, you know, think he's terrible. A lot of people think he's pretty good. I'm biased, obviously, because he went to the college I went to, so I think he's good. More so than just him, they're skilled players and their offensive line are good. Mm-hmm.
I think the thing with Cousins is people have been waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it hasn't this year. I think this might be his best career year.
Probably statistically, yes. Yeah. He's had a couple of big statistical years. Sure. That's why there's that group that think he's very good.
I think he's been playing very well. I think he's going to be a massive problem for the Lions. Fortunately, though, one of his skill players is potentially not going to play after practicing all week, and that is Adam Thielen. He was unable to practice in any of the games.
Which is great news for the Lions.
Yep. Listed as doubtful.
Although we don't want to see anybody hurt.
And the Vikings writers are not expecting him to play, so that means we'll probably see a Slay on Diggs matchup, and then it's going to be... You know, who's next? Is Treadwell going to get the nod? Is it going to be Olabisi, who I thought did well last time against the Lions, if I'm not mistaken? And who's going to be on the opposite side against him? Will they keep pushing Coleman up there? Will they give Oluwariye some continued snaps with Melvin being hurt? Or will Melvin show up? I don't know. There's a lot of questions at that corner 2 versus wide receiver 2 spot. But I don't think it's... I think the way Cousins has been playing, though, they're still going to look sharp. Cook has been playing very well.
Although he's questionable this week.
He hurt himself pretty bad, but he insisted he was going to be 100%. He's practiced all week.
Better be first round of fantasy playoffs.
They're expecting him to play, and the Vikings run... offense is what 12th in DVOA, so
yep, on the ground.
The Lions,
that's the best part of their defense, 20th.
Yeah, has been improving, and it used to be worse, right?
They've worked their way up. They've done a little bit better.
Yeah, and so
you can even see it on the field. It's not just, you know, by these statistics. Right. You can just tell they're better at defending the run than they were.
Yeah, and you know, it'll be a little harder sledding with no hand, but I think they've with getting Harrison back, that's going to help a lot. So, you know, Cook's still going to be a problem. Even without Thielen, the offense is still going to be a problem. Tracy Walker is back, which should help against tight ends, right? And that should help them improve against, what's his name? Rudolph, who played well. Very well last time. It caught a touchdown pass, at least one, against us last time, right? Mm-hmm. So, I think, again, And when you look at the names, the Lions, they can match up okay, but the output has not been there. And so the output says Cousins has a distinct advantage over what the Lions have been doing, I guess, on the field, right? Like, they've been giving up yardage. They've been giving up passing touchdowns through the air. And it, everything just seems to be pointing in favor of the Vikings offense, and by a pretty wide margin.
Yeah, just a reminder for everyone, Kirk Cousins, 24-34, 338, and 4 TDs last time out against the Lions. Dalvin Cook, 25 carries for 142 yards and 2 scores. He also caught a pass for 7 yards. Diggs led the receiving corps, 7 for 143. Irv Smith, so we can't forget about Irv, because they're probably going to be running a little, they're going to be running more 2 tight end sets.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And more 2 tight end looks, especially if they don't have Adam Thielen in the lineup. He went 5 for 60. Kyle Rudolph went 5 for 58 with his touchdown.
That's an excellent point with the 2 tight end sets. That's going to help them in the run game. It's going to help them with their disguise. It's going to cause a more of a matchup problem for the Lions as well. So losing Thielen is bad, but it's not. They have the personnel to get over that and still execute.
All right, so do we want to talk the defense? We did talk about the defense
a little bit.
I don't know if you want to mention, we talked about the right Vikings our run game. I don't think we really mentioned that too much. We're going to see more Bo Scarborough. We'll see a little bit of Ty Johnson. I'm sure we'll see a gadget or two out of J.D. McKissic.
The Vikings' run defense is 9 in DVOA, but it was like 4 or 3. Like, they've been slowly...
Yeah, they're starting to sink. Like our special teams unit, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah, they've been slowly giving up more yardage. And they've got some injuries on the offensive, on the defensive line as well. Everson Griffin is injured. Stephen Shamar is injured. Linval Joseph is injured. So Shamar Stephen, I don't know. I got that
Shamar, backwards. Yeah, that's all right. Well, Stephen, his last name's the first name.
Right. All of them are dinged up. Linval Joseph has not really looked like Linval Joseph that we've seen in the past. So it's possible that they're going to try and use Scarborough to grind it out and try and get that going. The big issue for the Lions last time and for most teams is the linebacking crew of Minnesota is very good. Eric Kendricks is one of the best linebackers in the league this year. Anthony Barr has been playing at a higher level. And the two of them have done an exceptional job against all offenses. Ben Gideon, who was their will out of Michigan, he is now on IR. And their replacement for him is injured, so we're probably going to see a lot more nickel out of the back end, and especially with the Lions probably deploying a trio of receivers, they'll counter that with nickel. But again, there's going to be a chance for the Lions to put up points because of how the matchups line up here. They line up in a favorable way, but the Vikings are still going to have an advantage, but it's not as significant as an advantage as, in my opinion, 13.5 points, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll get to predictions in a second. I'm interested to see what you think on this. But I think they can put up some points.
All right. Moving on to the special teams, the Lions' special teams unit, which was at one point ranked as high as 2nd, according to the DVOA rankings.
For a while.
Yeah, for several weeks. Has sunk to 10th, and they've given up some big kickoff returns. They also happened on Thanksgiving Day, and the Vikings, they're more in the middle of the pack, down at 18. So, I don't know, there's really nothing spectacular about the Vikings special teams, except we'll get to see Amir Abdullah again. That's the big one,
right?
And he'll be out returning kicks.
And he'll be motivated.
Right, yeah, well, yeah, although he didn't, I don't remember him doing anything the last time they played.
He'll be motivated, but that doesn't mean
it doesn't mean it's going to be good. I liked Amir Abdullah. I wish he would have made it. All right. Yeah. So well, he did average 29.3 yards per kick return, but with our kick return defense, or kick return coverage as of late, 29.3 is, well, we held them. So,
it's, they had a hard time against the Browns.
So
the Bears.
John Bonamigo was doing a very good job for a big chunk of the year, but now, whereas he was a terrible college head coach.
Yeah, right.
And now his replacement has led the Chippewas to the MAC championship game, which is probably going on in 59 minutes in our time, which is not going to be the same as anybody else's time that's going to listen to this.
You got
to
give Bonamigo a little bit of credit for building that roster, though.
Yeah, right? For Jim McElwain.
Yeah.
Well, he brought in his own quarterback.
But McElwain's probably a better college coach.
Yeah, he's definitely a better college coach. Maybe not a better person, although we've heard bad things about John Bonamigo and his family as well.
All right, Bonamigo...
It's neither here or there. Yeah. We don't really talk
about it. But Bonamigo, we didn't even talk about this in the Bears game. He called for Prater to rocket a kick at someone.
I thought that was a. It looked like that's what the plan was.
Yeah,
but in actuality, that wasn't the plan.
Well, Prater said he got lucky in hitting him.
Yeah,
he said
it was going to be a squibber. He just
got
nailed
lucky.
It off the guy's shin, which is great. You'd think more teams, but the best kickers should try that more often.
Mm-hmm.
You would try to
hit a guy.
Yeah, try to hit a guy in the front line.
The play call was designed to have this potential outcome. Yes, mm-hmm. and confuse, and it worked. And then he smashed the guy, and there you go, onside. I agree. I think that's something that you could potentially see moving forward. These new kickoff rules throw out all kinds of different.
Well, throws out any type of. Well, no, it doesn't throw off the surprise onside kick. Mm-hmm. Like it kills the necessary onside when everybody knows this team X needs this onside kick to keep him in the game, and now that's gone because they can't line up like eight guys on one side of the ball anymore because it's too dangerous. Yeah, I don't know, maybe they'll figure that out over time. Maybe some people have some good ideas because I'd watch them like, man, what could they do different? And the big one's been. Well, we're going to call the onside kick. We're going to give the team 4th and 14 or whatever, and they're going to go for it. And if they get it, they get to keep the ball, which I think is kind of weird. But maybe they'll come up with something.
Right.
All right, so I think we could talk about
you want to call the score?
Score.
Yeah, we made our – this is the second week in a row – or second – not in a row, but the second week this season where I have predicted a Lions victory, and then the Lions have shifted out from their starting quarterback to a backup quarterback and then lost.
Probably won't happen this week.
And I've gotten, but I've been put in a bad spot a couple times this year. And so I think you are sitting in a very good position.
Yeah.
Well ahead of me.
As I was last year and the year before.
But, yeah, but I feel like I've been on the wrong end of these late quarterback switches a couple of times, and this was another one where I was on the wrong end of one because of making our predictions ahead of time. So because you are in the pole position here, I'm going to let you make your call first. I already know what my score is.
Vikings 42-28.
Okay, so 42-28 means you're expecting a 14-point game.
Yes, right. I'm expecting the Vikings to beat the spread. Beat the spread.
My gut and what I had written down for Lions wire was 28-20 Vikings.
Okay.
So I'm under. Let's hope that it's not a 12-point game again, and then we tie.
This is where you do good, though.
Maybe
this end of the year where I get too outrageous with my picks, and then you play it conservatively, you play it smart, and then we end up tying.
So basically, I want the under, is what it is.
Yeah.
But I do think like a 28-20 is realistic. That's what, from a pure scoring standpoint, that's the score I would go with. But, yeah, I think 14 is too much.
All right, we got a couple minutes here. We could talk about how the Lions have moved up to the 6th pick.
Oh, yeah.
In the 2020 NFL draft. Not Chase Young territory yet.
No. But they're more in contention than we thought, right? Because last weekend, all those teams below them, except the Giants, won.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Everybody won last week in Miami.
Well, Giants going to have to go on a tear to pass. Well, no, not a tear. They had two games, because if we're tied, they're going to still be ahead of us because we beat them.
Right. We'd have to, I think.
Although they won't have a tie, so.
And I think the Giants are the tricky ones, because if you're looking at the teams who could pick ahead of the Lions.
They're going to pick quarterbacks.
Yes.
But not the Giants.
The Giants won't. Yeah, and the Giants would want that edge rusher. And so, because they got their quarterback last year.
And the running.
David Jones, right? Yeah. So, if you're a Chase Young fan and you want the Lions to get Chase Young, and you're saying I want them to lose so they have a chance to get him. You got to get ahead of the – you have to pick in front of the Giants, and I don't think
that Eli's coming back. Maybe he can lead them to two wins in these final four games.
Maybe.
It's not likely, but it's possible.
Yeah. But that's the game – that's the team you're looking at right now. You're saying, okay, the Giants are the one you're keen on for the last month.
If I mean, the Bengals are
I think the Bengals have to go quarterback.
I guess. They have Dolphins. To. I mean,
Dolphins as long as, should be thinking quarterback as well. Or but offensive
line. What if Young's this generational player where everybody knows he's going to be great?
Does he look like a generational player?
I don't know. He's been very good. It's he can play the run. He can play the pass.
He's had some phenomenal games, but then the Michigan wiped him out almost, right?
Well, you make a point. But except for Ndamukong Suh, he's maybe the one exception as far as college football.
Sure.
Defensive lineman going. He wasn't even a passer. Well, he is a pass. He was so good he could rush the pass, but he was a defensive tackle.
Clowney.
Yeah.
Like, he was deserving of being the number one pick that year.
But, like I'm saying, like, only Sue is the only guy I remember. Because even Clowney could disappear in a college game.
Okay.
Sue's the only guy who never disappeared in a college game, it seemed.
That's true.
But, like, these high-end guys, but Clowney's a bad example anyways because I don't think he's that great. You know, he's not the best defenseman in the NFL, but I'm saying as far as like, all right, so well, we're going to get into that a lot more in the coming weeks because Chase Young, everybody seems to be in a consensus like this guy's going to be the best defensive end in the NFL.
If
there's a consensus like that, why would you risk on a quarterback?
Right.
Especially inside your building, there's like dissension within the group. It's like, I don't think this guy is going to be that great. Let's go with this. He's going to be the guy.
I think
most likely.
I think Cincinnati taking Joe Burrow is a no-brainer for me.
I believe he's an Ohio State guy. staying in his quote unquote home state.
Right. And so that would make. I mean, and look, maybe the Giants are still ahead of the Lions, and you're saying, all right, well, I hope the Lions are losing, so then they get in a position where they can then trade up. But Bob Quinn doesn't trade up in the first that often because it would take a lot.
Well, it's going to take – if they're high and they want to get a little higher, it's still going to cost them a lot to just get a little bit higher.
Look what the Bears had to give up to move up one spot to get Trubisky,
yeah.
Right? And that's really what you're talking about. You're talking about moving up into that two spot. So – I don't know. I think Chase Young is a phenomenal talent. He's going to test out of the room. He's going to be phenomenal. He produces. He's the talent is there. The Michigan game gives you a little bit of pause, but yeah. I mean, I think he's the best defender in this draft. Don't get me wrong, but when we're talking about generational talent. I don't know. Is he a generational talent? Is he better than the Bosas? You know what I mean?
Because
that's
Bosas,
what they're saying. They're
better
saying
than J.J. Watt, better than Michael Strahan,
right?
You can go all the way. Reggie White, you can go all the way.
But back. I mean, that's who he's being compared to the Bosas because that's who he played with, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the most recent edge rushers that have produced. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Is he better than Bosa's? Even if he's equal to the Bosa's, I think he's worth that number two pick. You know what I mean?
But at that time, he's maybe not worth taking over a quarterback that you might think is
right.
A Pro Bowl type quarterback.
Right. And I think the Tua injury throws a wrench in this whole thing. I do think Burrow's going to be the one, going to go number one. And I think Chase Young's going to go number two. It's just...
Who's going to be there?
Yeah, where are you going to be? And can you move up to that spot? There's a lot of things that can happen over the last month.
A lot of things can change. Last year, a lot of things changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Daniel Jones ended up going sixth. A lot of things changed.
Right.
The year before, Mitch Trubisky went second.
And that's the thing is, you never know how it's going to work. And even though Tua was hurt, and I could see him falling, I could also see him going to top five because someone's saying medically he looks. He's going to be okay.
We're going to get great value out of taking him here.
Right.
All right. That's all we got for today.
Yeah. Up one review again. That's nice. Up 255. Yep. Keep climbing.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. That's
we
great.
Really appreciate it.
So we're happy that we continue to little by little keep creeping up. I know it's a tough time where not a lot of people are interested. You know, like when you lose, your fan base drops off.
People stop. Yeah. I expect people stop listening, and then we'll get the uptick again once we start going
in the off season. Yeah. But those
of
you
listening, stick with us.
Yeah, those of you who are sticking around,
we're sticking with them.
Yeah, appreciate it, because we're going to keep sprinkling, especially as we wind down here. We'll keep sprinkling more off-season and draft stuff, and then we'll hit that off-season real hard once the season's over, too.
One last thing to note, Joe Schmidt was named one of the top linebackers in NFL history, and 100 for 100 or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, and they just did two more.
They just did two more yesterday.
Jack Christensen?
I wouldn't be surprised.
And Nitrane Lane.
Oh, Dick Knight. Well, of course, Nitrane Lane.
Yeah, right?
The great clothesline tackler. They don't allow you to do that anymore.
What's interesting is Yale Larry didn't make it as a safety, but he's also still eligible as a punter. So,
yeah, he's a punter, yep.
So he made it
in
both.
See. I don't know how many punters and kickers they're going to have. I don't know.
I think they might. I didn't see it. They might have actually
even
announced
Vinatieri
the punters
and
kickers.
Ray Guy. That's it. Just put those two guys as the kicker and punter.
It's very possible. But, I know Yale Larry gets... the fact that he was able to make the potential 100 as a safety and then also make the potential 100 as a punter, I mean, it's just insane.
It's crazy, right? Crazy game back then.
It is.
It was specialized now.
Yes.
All right, so that's it. That's all we got for this week. And until next week, sorry we were late this week, but things happen. And until next time, let's go Lions.